Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Also establish a program that allows teachers and other personnel to be trained to serve as guardians on campus. Having guardians in school is an effective way to ensure that highly trained personnel are in place to respond immediately in the event of an emergency.
Yeah, this is a bill that had been working its way through, and it was Michelle Salzman and Senator Gates were Representative Salzman and Senator Gates, if I'm going to be parallel, I suppose. We're working this bill, House and Senate side, and the governor did sign it. HB 757, and the bill essentially allows the guardian program, which you might be familiar with from, you know, regular K through 12 schools, where not a school resource officer, but somebody who goes through sheriff's office training, and that's the yellow shirts, okay, that they are able to be on campus, and they are armed, and that is their job, is to be there and stop a bad guy if a bad guy shows up. This allows that same program in concept to be applied to these, you know, colleges and universities, so PSC and UWF. And instead of being, you know, yellow shirts, it's concealed carry, but you still do go through the similar kind of training that a guardian would go through. So the sheriff's office is going to be involved, and you go through that training if you volunteer to be a part of the program. And this could be staff, this could be professors, and then you're going to have, it, you know, assuming that the school opts in, which, you know, nobody's opted in yet because it hasn't been a law until just Friday. And I think it maybe, I'm not sure if it's a take effect immediately or if it's a take effect July 1st law. I hadn't looked at the bill recently enough to tell you. But in any case, you know, those are the two schools that may opt in. I would think they probably will opt in. And question for you, 437-1620, what do you think? If you have students that go there, I mean, I've had, you know, I have one that's at UWF now, one that's at PSC, and one that's graduated from UWF. I used to teach college myself. I am a 100% supporter. No qualms. I think this is a good program. And, you know, I've said before, I'll say again, that when I taught, one of the greatest things that frustrated me about teaching as a believer in both the Second Amendment and my obligation to protect these students. I mean, they're my students, you know. And if this was post-Columbine, post-Sandy Hook, this was, you know, actually, I got to think about that. Maybe it wasn't post-Sandy Hook. It's post-Columbine. Yeah, not post-Sandy Hook. Anyway, but I was teaching at a time when, you know, there was concern about the classroom. And I knew that I had a gun at home. It doesn't do me much good if somebody comes into the classroom. And because I, you know, all schools prohibit firearms, I literally had no ability to protect my students whose well-being and care and minds were entrusted to me for 50 minutes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or, you know, 75 minutes Tuesday and Thursday. And it always bothered me. So seeing a bill like this that would have allowed me back in the day to be able to do something to protect my students, yes and amen. Absolutely. Not just for, like, not really so much for my personal safety, but because, you know, like a parent is responsible for your kids, I felt responsible for these students and the ability as a staff to be able to be armed in case. It horrified me that they would force me into the position where, as a vulnerable soft target, which is every university is, that, you know, there was nothing I could do. So I'm glad that Florida is doing this.
They did the Guardian program. You'd have people say, we should not want teachers want to teach. They don't want to be having guns. No one was required to be a guardian, right? I mean, you weren't required to do it. And most schools embraced it.
That's exactly right. It's voluntary. Whatever Spicoli says to the contrary, you know. It did crack me up a little bit hearing Governor DeSantis now is doing, like, voices like he's a voice actor.
We should not want teachers want to teach. They don't want to be having guns.
It's a gnarly wave there, dude. All right. So anyway, the substance of the bill.
And the point I made was, like, yes, you know, say you have an instructor, an administrator who's a guardian and is concealed carrying a firearm, and something happens and they're there, then they can respond and save lives. Yeah, that's true. But to me, it's even broader than that.
Yeah, it's more than just that there is a person there to respond. There is the deterrent effect of not knowing where the people are, precisely because it's concealed carry. It's not yellow shirts, and it's also not an unarmed, because right now, you know, what do you know about a college campus? The only people with guns are people who are breaking the law or cops. Right? Now, there might be people breaking the law. Not very likely. And the reason it's not very likely is because people who are willing to conceal carry are not eager to break the law, because if they get caught, they lose the right to conceal carry. Like, it's, you know, you lose the privilege. So those of us who do it lawfully are the only ones who obey the rules, which is the problem, because the criminals, of course, do not obey the rules. But it's not just the fact that you'd have a person there to respond immediately when, you know, when seconds matter, cops are minutes away. I love my cops, but that's the reality.
If they know a campus is a guardian campus, well, then a perpetrator is not going to know that they're going to be able to get away with it. They don't know whether they're going to be able to face resistance. And so what they try to gravitate towards is the gun-free areas where they know that basically people are going to be sitting ducks.
Exactly.
And so I think the guardian, it puts the bad guys on the defense. They don't know who's going to be able to offer them resistance. And I think it's been something that was well thought out, and I think it's been executed.
I have an analogy that I think might help. I think it might help clarify this issue of the guarded, unguarded, you know, gun-free zone kind of concept. I'll share that with you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Of course. All right, here we go. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile, expect about a 7-minute delay. 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, experiencing about a 5-minute delay. John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
First of all, welcome back.
Thank
you. It's good to have your grumbling back again.
I know.
What are you grumbling? You're grumbling that I promoted to tease something?
Yes, because
I teased it for like, it's going to be in a minute.
I wanted the payoff right then.
But I didn't do the like typical radio thing. Yeah, I'll answer that question coming up at 7:43. You know, like
in two songs.
In 30 minutes. No. I mean, it's sort of right now. Well, almost right now. Because first I want to tell you about Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. If you need a good realtor, I mean, if you need a realtor, you want a good one, right? So you want somebody with experience, somebody who, when she started, you know, those of us who've known Christina a long time, and I've known her almost as long as we've lived here, you know, she used to do the news. And I knew her in that context. And, I mean, she was great at it. But then she went into real estate and did some family stuff first. And then she went into real estate. And what you think what you always think, which is, okay, well, you're smart, capable, people like you. But real estate is this weird beast. Like, you know, people who would otherwise seem to have promise don't. And then other people that you think that won't do. And, you know, okay, well, so good luck. Holy smokes. Nobody knew, right? Selling over 200 homes a year during the height of the market. Then when the market got a little bit more difficult, selling 175, then 165. But then last year, back up 30% last year, 209 homes sold. She and her team, 4 homes a week, a lot of experience. So if you want somebody who understands the market and what's going on with it and how to get your home sold or to help you buy one or both, which is common enough, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996. All right, here you go, John. See?
Thank you.
So I was trying to think of a good way to illustrate, you know, the job of a philosopher a lot of times is to come up with a clear way to illustrate a not so clear thing. And I know for a lot of you, the idea of, you know, no guns here is obviously the invitation to bad guys. Unless you believe that bad guys are all irrational and madmen and can't make decisions about where there's risk and where there's not, which is, I mean, then why have laws? You know, laws deterrent effect, right? Okay. So imagine that you had like a series of streets, and I'll just pick the alphabet streets because that's easy enough to conceptualize. And imagine that alphabet streets A, B, and C were no guns allowed. Like guns are illegal in these areas. And then alphabet streets like D, E, and F are guns are legal. Private citizens can own guns. Which of the streets are going to get robbed and burglarized more often? You know, like, I mean, and if you had, like, let's say there was only kind of one entrance, you know, to these streets, which is not how they work in our city, but, and let's say at that entrance for the D, E, and F streets, you had warning, citizens on these streets might have guns. Now, you wouldn't know whether any individual, you know, 7241 D Street, whether, I have no idea if that's a real, probably not. But okay, if 7241, you go there to rob them, you don't know whether that house has guns, but you know that the street may have guns. Somebody there may have guns, right? Or on B Street, what if they had a sign? There are no guns on this street at all. Unless we have a criminal who's got them. But, you know, otherwise, no guns here. Which street gets robbed more? And you know that, like, the no-gun street, right, might not be eager to advertise that there are no-gun street. Because, you know, people who are gun streets don't have a problem telling you, you know, this home protected by Smith & Wesson or Glock or Ruger or, you know, right? As opposed to the street with no guns, we're like, this street's not protected by anything. It's just harsh language and a baseball bat. That's all we got. And that's the point. The whole idea of prohibiting certain places from having guns winds up being the same as having a gun street sign. Street. And if you know that schools are no gun zones, well, guess what? They're soft targets. Well, now you know that schools aren't no gun zones because you have an SRO and you have a guardian. Oh, what about the college campus? Well, we have the police. But a college campus is a city with 15,000 people, UWF, for example. I don't know the population at PSC, but it's got to be 5 to 10,000. I would think it might be more. I'm not sure. But, you know, and they have a police force, okay? And that's fine. But, again, if a campus guardian, that's, you know, in the classroom right now, in the classroom is a gun-free street. Unless a cop is sitting there and the cops aren't there, you know? But if this, now that this is a law, you can't say that anymore. Instead, the sign should say, you know, this classroom might be protected by Glock. Take your chances or don't, right? And you know that there's a difference. It's always amazing to me that the anti-gun people just won't accept that concept. Now, I know you might be concerned about inadvertent fire. You might be concerned about untalented people. That's what the Guardian program is designed to counteract, to train you, to equip you, to make you skilled. You know, at least to an acceptable level, because it's a lot of hours of training the Guardian program. And, you know, I understand, okay? You feel like more guns means more danger, okay? And I don't want to ignore that that's completely false. I mean, I don't want to pretend that's completely false. There's some of that. But at the same time, you also acquire safety in the process and a discouragement. And what I'm hoping is that what this will mean is if you started to look at the big picture long term, and there's not that many incidents like this, you know, there are a few, but we haven't had a major school incident in Florida since we signed the Guardian program. Now, we didn't have that many to begin with anyway, so statistically it's a little hard to make the case. But I'm hoping that now that this law is in place, we will also not have an FSU-type situation, you know? And God forbid, I'm hoping that, you know, that would never happen at PSC or UWF now. Even if nobody at these campuses actually carries, the bad guys don't know. And bad guys are usually cowards or prudent. You know, they want to avoid response. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you love church? Ephesians 5 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Acts 20:28 says that Christ purchased the church with his blood. 1 Timothy 3 tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. So obviously, the New Testament places a huge priority on the church. If you're a Christian but not a member of a local Bible preaching church, I urge you to get involved as soon as possible. You possess unique spiritual gifts that can be used within the body of believers. Hebrews 10 tells Christians to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God wants us to worship him and provoke others to love and good works. Attend a Bible-believing church this Sunday.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
What is website visitor ID? How much effort do you put into attracting people to your website without having any idea of who actually visits? With website visitor ID, you can collect the name, email address, physical address, and even demographic information from the people who come to your website, all without cookies. This is lead generation gold. It's called website visitor ID.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Look, just call me Dane, okay? It'll be like a nickname.
How could you do this to me?
Because I'm in love with you.
What kind of an excuse is that?
Good morning, 7:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. A couple of texts in here we got on the issue of, you know, now that the governor has signed this law, you could theoretically in the near future have, staff and or professors trained to be school guardians at the campus of PSC and UWF. And I'll just tell you, for my part, I'm thrilled with this. And I'm excited that my kids might be safer because of this. Because right now they're not as safe as they will be if somebody, you know, is there, at least in theoretical sense, and if in practice also as well. Somebody says, guns are legal in Chicago, or illegal in Chicago. Right. Exactly. Right. Somebody else says, I think it's a good program that also help eliminate perception that classrooms are easy targets. Correct. Somebody else says, UK schools are gun-free streets and they haven't had a school shooting in years. They have had incidents. I will say schools, maybe not, but yeah. Then again, if you get rid of all the guns, is that your goal? That puts you in a different kind of problem, which is susceptibility to, you know, big threats like domestic tyranny. Also, by the way, I'm not sure the UK is the place where you really want to go for this, if only because they're now arresting pastors for preaching, two cases recently. And somebody else says, I've seen you shoot at the simulator at Milton Police Department during Leadership Santa Rosa. You definitely should have had a concealed carry firearm. I don't think you missed any. I did get clocked by a guy who I didn't think was a threat, and he took me out. But the guy who was a threat, I killed him good. Yeah.
Okay, so, don't mess with Andrew McKay.
No. I remember that day vividly. Those shoot-no-shoot drills are super useful. Really, really useful. All right, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that Florida West focuses on attracting and expanding businesses that create jobs, increase wages, and strengthen Escambia County's economy? Still rolling accident-free. Not seeing, I-10, I-110 all look good. 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, experiencing about a six-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I see your week plus off on cruise time didn't make you forget how to do traffic, so well done.
Oh, thank you. David, yeah, I was practicing with the boats and stuff.
You were not. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Press X to doubt. David?
Hey, you got to do your traffic reports on the buffet line every night,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. You are right. That's look, 100%.
There's a little bit of backup at the Szechuan counter, absolutely. But you can easily get through to the desserts, no waiting at all. John Pickens with your traffic on the boat.
Andrew, police say a third suspect in 10 random shootings across Austin, Texas over the weekend has been caught. According to the Austin Police Department, those shootings were reported Saturday and Sunday. Four people were shot. Two other suspects had already been arrested. Pope Leo is creating an artificial intelligence commission. The Vatican says the pontiff decided to create that commission due to increased use of AI, citing its potential effects on human beings and humanity as a whole. And
by the way, I saw a headline. I didn't research it more, but you had a second graduation speaker. One of these like tech CEO people that got booed for talking about AI. So second time now.
Really?
The UCF students and now this one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Seeing this one as well, Pabst Brewing Company is ending production of Schlitz beer.
No.
After 177 years of existence. It was once America's largest brewer, founded in 1849, bought by Pabst in 1999. I think I've only ever seen Schlitz for sale maybe once.
Yeah.
In recent years.
It's not the greatest beer. No. But it's... I feel like they've killed off a little piece of America. You know, it's like if they got rid of Pabst Blue Ribbon or, you know, Old Milwaukee or something. You know, they're not good beers. Not really. But
not the best, no.
It's important to have them. You know?
Just a piece of history.
Don't you think there ought to be like a protected historical alcohol subsidy or something to keep the production of them going? Probably not. That's a silly idea. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah. Former Google CEO Eric Schmidt got booed during a commencement speech about AI. So, yeah, this is now a thing. People, students do not like it. And, you know, I'm kind of with them. 437-1620. One, just a note on that mishap with the EA-18s. They're not Fs because fighters are Fs and EA is electronic attack. It's the same plane that the Blue Angels fly, just configured very differently. Anyway, I was thinking about this and I kind of talked with Mongo off the air about this just a little bit. John, you know, the one plane was on top of the other plane.
Right.
And but they were just a little bit enough offset that when the ejection seats kicked out, the bottom plane was able to eject out safely, which thank God. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting when you look at the video, both ejections were activated at almost the same exact time. So whether it was the pilot or the NFO in each case, I don't know, but or the EWO, electronic warfare officer. But they came to that conclusion based on the same set of circumstances at exactly the same time.
Right.
Also, you know, the guy on top may not have known even what was happening because he couldn't see the other plane.
But he had no control.
Yeah, he's just all of a sudden, I'm all over the place and I got no control. Time to bug out, right? So interesting to think that he would may not have even known a plane was attached to him.
ICJ Pop accused CEO killer Luigi Mangione in state court this morning in New York City.
We will all see Luigi Mangione in court. That's because Judge Gregory Carroll, well, he's allowing cameras inside the courtroom as he announces his big decision whether to keep key evidence in this case in for the jury or toss it all out.
Fox's Eric Schon outside the courthouse. It begins at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Another warning from President Trump to Iran, posting on True Social, the clock is ticking. Oil is up on fears the war will resume. Major severe weather alert.
We're looking at a level 4 out of 5 alert for parts of Kansas, also southeast Nebraska, Iowa, and Minnesota. That's where the most powerful storms will be, which unfortunately coincides with that large hailstone risk.
Fox Weather's Britta Merwin. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 72 degrees and it looks like partly cloudy skies right now. Of course, our full forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's going to be up in just a few minutes. A 48-year-old Pensacola man died yesterday after crashing in the parking lot of West Florida Hospital. The Florida Highway Patrol says that man was driving westbound near the emergency room when he failed to negotiate a turn, striking a curb, a sign, and a junction box. The man was pronounced dead at the hospital. That crash does remain under investigation by FHP. The Department of Justice is asking a federal judge to throw out a subpoena demanding classified documents tied to the 2019 NAS Pensacola terror attack. Attorneys for the victims' families are suing the Saudi government, claiming they knew gunman Mohammed al-Shamrani was radicalized before he came to Pensacola for flight training. Al-Shamrani killed 3 U.S. sailors, Joshua Watson, Mohammed Haitham, and Cameron Walters, wounded 8 other people. The DOJ says the documents are classified and sensitive to ongoing law enforcement investigations. Well, lots of Pensacola area residents learned how to save a life at the Pensacola Bay Center yesterday. Medical professionals from both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties joined the American Heart Association for the Gulf Coast Press the Chest Community CPR event. Attendees learned how to perform CPR on adults and children and also how to use defibrillators. The American Heart Association does say more than 350,000 cardiac events happen outside of hospitals every year, and less than half of bystanders are able to step in and help. Well, reports that Alligator Alcatraz is closing may have been a bit premature. The facility in the Everglades is reportedly still open as of today, and Florida Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie says he's actually been told to expect more detainees here this week. A Milton Marine veteran is settling into a custom new home, mortgage and tax-free as well. Retired Gunnery Sergeant David Post was severely injured in Afghanistan when he stepped on an explosive device The nonprofit Homes for Our Troops built the home for him with 40 wheelchair accessible adaptations, including wider hallways, pull down shelves, and roll under sinks. And Post says that move is life changing for him, giving him not just accessibility, but also the financial freedom to focus on his next chapter without the burden of a mortgage. And got an update on that finger point robbery in Okaloosa County earlier this month. The suspect has been arrested after apparently returning to the scene to apologize several days after the robbery. Investigators say Tanya Jo Riemann walked into Fort Walton Beach area Tom Thumb store. This was on May 9th and had a sweatshirt wrapped around her hand, implying she had a weapon, then walked out with two packs of cigarettes. Well, she returned to the store on Saturday, apologized, offered to pay the $10.26 for what she took. Deputies arrested her on the spot. Riemann later admitted that she'd pretended to have a gun and wrote an apology letter to the clerk. Now, it's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3 and partly cloudy. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. If you're on I-10 eastbound, right around the Pine Forest Road area, you're going to see about a seven-minute delay in that area. Also, 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, experiencing a six-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. John, now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 84 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 86. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 71 degrees. Heading into Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 86 degrees. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 72 degrees. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. NextEra Energy said it will buy Dominion Energy in an all-stock deal that combines two leading players in the race to meet growing electricity demand from data centers that run artificial intelligence applications. NextEra shareholders will own roughly 75% of the combined company, while Dominion will own the remaining 25%. Online fast fashion platform Shein is acquiring Everlane in a deal valuing the U.S.-based apparel retailer at about $100 million. Puck News reports brands like Shein and Temu have disrupted the local retail landscape through aggressive pricing and strategic marketing. An Indian court has told Apple to fully cooperate with investigators in an antitrust case related to the iPhone app market, not agreeing with the U.S. company's request to put the case on hold while it challenges the law governing antitrust penalties. Reuters reports Apple had accused the CCI of exceeding its powers by pushing the company to submit its financials. Futures have dropped this morning. That's Your Money Now.
In the time it takes to watch one episode of your favorite show, you could be approved for your auto loan. While your dinner's in the oven, you could be comparing rates. By the time your morning coffee is brewed, those keys to your new car could practically be in your hand. PenAir Credit Union doesn't just process auto loans. We beam you straight into the driver's seat. Fast approvals, low rates, and easy financing. Apply now at penair.org/autoloans. Federally insured by NCUA.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday through Monday, see America's tall ship, the U.S. Coast Guard Bark Eagle. It's the largest tall ship flying the stars and stripes. For tour information, see visitpensacola.com. Saturday, it's the annual Family Beach Fest at the Gulfside Pavilion from 3 till 7:30. The free concert honors God, family, and our military on Memorial Day weekend. See Family Beach Fest on Facebook for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Planning your vacation?
Chris, what do you want to go on a vacation?
Why not take Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin with you?
We're going to go to the beach.
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
That's good.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go.
And it's absolutely free.
That's really good.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3, no matter where in the world you are.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
You know, if I'm being honest, I don't think I've ever had a pair of jeans that fit just right. I've had some comfortable ones, but, you know, that song, I figured, it's just that's not, that particular line does not express the Andrew McKay reality. 740 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. John, welcome back. The other JP in my life, that's John Pickens, the other JP in my life, Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning.
Sorry you joined us under these circumstances of having to deal with me. You guys had you hosted a veterans town hall on Tuesday?
Yeah, we had north of 3,000 people participate on the call. Got some good feedback. You know, we're probably, you know, the one thing I take away a lot from the calls, and I appreciate everybody's participation. Talked to the bill sponsor after that call regarding the Richard Starr Act. He was convinced this bill is about to pop up. So anyway, we keep our fingers crossed that we can get this thing on the agenda and hopefully out before Memorial Day.
What bill is that? Is that the, that's not the Never Fight Alone Act. That's something different.
No, this is a different one. I guess I didn't mention it to you. This is regarding paying benefits to disabled vets.
Oh,
so it's long overdue. It's needed. It was something that constituents had reached out to me about. I'd reached out to the bill sponsor, good man Gus Bilirakis, out of the Pasco County area. So keep your fingers crossed, folks. Hopefully we can get it up and out here within a week.
And then you also announced that, announced it in anticipation of this town hall, or at the town hall, the Never Fight Alone Act dealing with mental health services for veterans, right?
Correct. So when it comes to folks that want to get those type of behavioral treatments, unfortunately, there's just no real bandwidth that we would like to see at our VA centers. So this is prioritizing more dollars into community care to go to local providers, to go to the doctor that you want to go to in order to get some of those treatments that are needed in order to, you know, get back into the workforce, enjoy life, deal with some of the challenges you've been fighting with. So it's good stuff. It's just giving greater flexibility and more predictability.
So I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought that within the VA healthcare system that vets already had the ability to go to community care, to a private doctor, instead of getting care from the VA. Is what's new here the fact that it would be for mental health care particularly, or what is it that
correct.
Makes this different? Okay. And that's
correct,
that's not
correct.
Already allowed?
Yeah. Well, evidently not as much as I thought. And this is, again, this is what we're learning between the last administration and this administration. You know, this is something that in talking with this Secretary Collins' team, this is something that they're hearing a lot about. We're hearing about it along with the district. So, but a lot of times, just because they're hearing it, it's still going to require some type of legislative or congressional action in order to realize that change in policy. But it's going to, you know, it's going to protect the veterans' right to choose their doc. Again, it also specifically reduces the amount of time for getting approval. So, you know, should really cut back on delays.
You know,
and then any type of changes would require congressional action. We're going to protect this program.
Good. You know, you make me think of something. I don't really know how to make this a question. I just kind of want to make an observation. And I feel like this is correct. So you used to work in restaurants. You used to take care of customers all the time. And the way you learn, I assume, in your restaurant about what you need to do differently is you'd ask the customers and they tell you. It seems to me like just kind of watching you that you came into office not really pretending to know everything about what the district needs, but you have systematically gone around and asked at NAS Pensacola, you know, what do you need? And asked the veterans, hey, what do you need? And then you're just trying to do that stuff. I mean, it sounds like a really obvious approach to governance, but is your approach basically just to find out what people want and try and do it for them?
Yeah, look, I mean, this is why you have offices around the district, because people need constituent services. Sometimes they need to meet face to face. It's crazy, but you know, I'm a big believer. You learn something every single day, and it's no different than learning how we leverage technology in order to touch more people. You know, I like to be accessible, and you know, when you do reach out to our office, we've got a pretty good success rate. But a lot of times, this is where good ideas for policy come from. This is also, you know, bills that we either file or bills that we're encouraged to file. Sometimes it comes straight from the district because there's those that are just very engaging, and that, I'm grateful for it.
Absolutely. We're talking to Jimmy Patronis. He is our congressman for Florida, Northwest Florida District 1. Hang on for just a second, Jimmy. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you are on Highway 98 going westbound into Gulf Breeze, experiencing about a seven-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Patronis. You know, we talked a little bit about this earlier. I don't know, dust up, whatever you want to call it, over President Trump's comments that, you know, he's getting ready to go negotiate about Iran. Is he worried about people's pocketbooks? And his answer, no, I'm trying to stop a nuclear war, which to me seems like a duh. Like, that seems like a really easy answer is, yeah, I'm more interested in preventing Iran from having a nuclear weapon than I am about your $4 a gallon gas. Now, people might perceive that as sounding tone deaf or out of touch or some billionaire comment. But to me, I'm like, that's the exact right priorities.
Well, and again, I think he got taken in the context he was in. He watches a lot of cable news. He sees the comments that are being made. He sees the challenges folks are being faced with. He also knows that a nuclearized Iran is the whole reason why we're in this conflict in the first place. And he's walking on to get on Marine One. It's noisy. They're yelling questions at each other, yelling answers at each other. I think, you know, yeah, look, he definitely does care, but his priorities are finishing the war, and he knows when the war is finished, you know, prices will crater, and I agree with him.
You know, obviously
the market will be flooded.
Right. A big story over the weekend, I know you saw the video with these two EA-18 Hornets, the electronic attack Hornets, that growlers, that, you know, collided during the air show. Weirdly, that air show, the last time they had it was in 2008, and they had a death of a demonstration hang glider or something, too, and they hadn't had that air show since. So thank God our pilots survived. You know, all four of them survived, which is, you know, fantastic. We were talking earlier with the with Mongo, who was the former commanding officer of the safety school here at NAS Pensacola and formerly training Wing 6 also, so backseaters. So he trained all of those folks. And I mean, when I saw this, part of what I, thank God they're alive, what I saw was, you know, man, the training is, but I thought, like, this is why we train. We train for safety because every life matters. We're trying to make sure their lives are safe. And, you know, even when something goes wrong, training kicks in and it makes a big difference. And they all trained here in NAS Pensacola, right?
Sure. And I didn't know that this was the first time they had an air show since the last fatality. That's got to be gut wrenching for those folks.
No kidding.
You know, but thank goodness these guys, yeah, their safety, their training kicked in. Also, the engineering of the equipment was able to, you know, I'm waiting to get more of a report back, but to be able to hit that ejection and pull out as quick as they did and be able to land safely. And on top of that, all four chutes opened up. That was impressive.
It's good to see the equipment work the way it's supposed to work and the training to work the way it's supposed to work. Yeah. What's that?
That's 100% right. Oh, I can't imagine the emotions and that those families went through as they were waiting to find out the status of their loved ones.
Oh, for
glad
sure.
Safe.
Absolutely. We also had kind of an interesting note. People may not have been tracking this, but since we're in Navy time, we pay a little bit more attention to this. The Gerald Ford returned home finally after having a 326 days deployment, and they got the presidential unit citation. So not just the Ford, but that's all of the other elements that were there with them, the Arleigh Burke class destroyers, all, you know, everybody that was in the group, the top military honor for collective unit. You know, it's these things have a special meaning for us here because, you know, we touch all of these elements in training and, you know, residents and staff. I mean, just when I think about these developments with the Navy, I always think about the hometown.
Sure. Well, and, you know, that's the longest carrier deployment since the Vietnam War.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, the Ford talking about really being able to test out every single system of this next generation carrier and,
yeah.
And at a full impact of all those that were on it. So yeah, it was a big deal. But you know, again, couldn't happen without Northwest Florida. That's for sure.
Most definitely. Last thing I was going to ask you about is, Governor DeSantis on Friday signed the Campus Guardian bill. This is the bill that expands the K-12 Guardian program onto UWF, well, potentially, onto any college campus in the state of Florida, PSC, for example. The difference is that they're not going to wear yellow shirts. They're going to concealed carry instead of openly carry. But it's the same training program, and it's voluntary. As a former teacher and as a dad who's got two students at these campuses, I'm thrilled at the stopping telling people, hey, there's no guns on these campuses. Everybody's open pickings. And especially with what happened at FSU, I'm thrilled to see this get signed.
Yeah, I'm glad, and it's common sense policy. And look, I'm a big believer. As long as you're, and this is going to be, you know, trained professionals on campus. I can't tell you enough. You know, it's great to have the right to bear arms, but guys, you need to go take your gun out to the range, get somebody to show you how to use it. You know, some people. I was fortunate. I grew up as a child, you know, when my daddy learned how to handle firearms, but not everybody has.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but you know, please go purchase one, go get some training, enjoy it, be proficient at it, understand what you've got. But you know, knowing that we're going to make sure our campuses are safe at the same time, this is a good step forward, and appreciate the governor's leadership on it.
Absolutely. I said last thing, but I actually had one other thing. Channel 3 has been covering this story pretty well with the lawsuit against the Saudis for not disclosing enough information about what happened to us with the Al-Shamrani attack several years ago. And this was actually a report from Channel 3 that I wanted you to react to. This is Chris Polos is the attorney, and then the anchor is going to give a bit of a commentary afterwards. Listen to this, Jimmy.
We have had 6 years to be told how it is possible that a card-carrying member of Al-Qaeda was walking around our community and was able to commit such a horrific act of violence. And yet no one in our community has been told anything of substance about how that happened, what has been done to correct that and to ensure that it will not happen again.
Friday, the DOJ filed another response saying they do not have to hand over the evidence. Paulos and the other attorneys involved in the case disagree. They called on Congress to look into it. A judge will make the final decision on what to do with the evidence.
Well, I'll tell you, people here want to know, and we've wanted to know ever since it happened. Thoughts about this? You know, the DOJ keeps stonewalling, keeps denying, keeps not disclosing. And people who care about this are frustrated, and they're asking Congress to help. Jimmy?
Yeah, look, we have reached out to the attorney for the Northern District. He's new on the job, as you think about. We've had three different administrations, three different district attorneys for the Northern District, now going on the last 10 years. So as a consistency of what leadership is wanting to do, there's been no consistency. So we, like I said, we did some outreach when the attorney reached out to us. It's a legal matter. We are pushing as much as we can as possible. We don't want to do anything that potentially could contaminate any rights that anybody might have. So we've got to be sensitive to the role that the legislative branch has in this. But at the same time, I mean, I was there that night of the shooting. It was horrific. You know, it's not right. We need to get the answers. People still need closure.
Absolutely. Jimmy Petronas is our congressman for Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time. Look forward to talking to you again next week, sir.
Yeah, see you. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks. 753 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC. Every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin, weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
You have to set an example even in the face of stupidity. Now, everybody that reads comic books knows that Kirby Silver Surfer is the only true Silver Surfer. Now, am I right or wrong?
You're right, sir.
All right, get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, 755 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. The seeing a delay on 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, about a 7-minute delay. But other than that, things are rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you need a new roof or you're not sure whether you need a new roof, and I know nobody gets up in the morning thinking, woohoo, what I want to do today is get a new roof. But, you know, at a certain point, you need them. There's a lot of things in life that you don't really get excited about, but, you know, if you don't do them, it can be bad. Quality Roofing Solutions, they're there for you. And, you know, look, they've done 10,000 roofs, and they're rated 4.9 on Google. I mean, honestly, besides that, what do you want to know? Okay, but in addition to that, their theory is let's just be good neighbors. Let's take care of people. Let's be straight with people. Let's tell them what we're going to do and tell them what the price is going to be, and then to do it and charge them that price. Like, you know, it's fairly straightforward. But they don't want to, you know, pretend that you're an expert or treat you like you're dumb if you're not an expert, talk down to you, whatever. Just want to be there, do what they say, and be reliable. I have a, you know, dear friend who, because I had talked about them a bunch, she decided to try them as her roofer. And she's like, we got several quotes, and they were not the cheapest, but they were not the most expensive. But I'll tell you what, you know, you spend good money and you expect a good result. And that's exactly what we got. I was super satisfied with them. And that's the point. They've been doing this with, you know, like I said, 20 years doing this, and they have a lifetime workmanship warranty on their roofs. Who does that? Well, they do. And the point is they're trying to be different, trying to be the place that you can trust and go to and rely on and get good work. QualityRoofingSolutions.com. It's right in the name, 777-0961. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The National Mall in Washington was filled with thousands of people on Sunday for the Jubilee of Prayer, part of the official celebration of America's 250th birthday. President Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, and Secretary of State Marco Rubio all delivered pre-recorded messages, with Vance speaking about the role faith and prayer play in national unity. Georgia voters head to the polls tomorrow for key primary races for governor and U.S. Senate. Republicans are looking to choose a challenger to Democrat Senator John Ossoff. And jury deliberations could begin today in the high-profile legal battle between Elon Musk and OpenAI CEO Sam Altman. Musk claims Altman broke a promise to keep OpenAI nonprofit after Musk contributed millions to help launch the company.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. You were kind of military-centric today, but that's okay. You know, it's relevant for us. We have the Taiwanese president defending U.S. arms purchases because, you know, against China. Right. There's going to push is going to come to shove. And sooner rather than later. We at least hope not, but that's what we believe. The Zumwalt class, you know, we haven't talked about this in a while, but we made these three destroyers, these stealth destroyers that have all kinds of technology designed to make them basically look like a fishing boat to your radar out on the water. And then we docked them back in because they didn't do what we wanted them to do. They're kind of like we've had the LCS, which has been a little bit of a catastrophe, a little bit, somewhat useful, somewhat problems. Okay, they just commissioned the last one, by the way. The Cleveland just got commissioned over the weekend. That's the last of the littoral combat ships, or like the Navy people like to call them, the little crappy ships. that was the one built up in Wisconsin. It wasn't built here. The last one was built up there. Anyway, back to the Zumwalt. The Zumwalt has been, we saw it when we were over for the McCool. You remember that? Did you go to Mississippi with me, John? I can't remember at all.
No, I wasn't allowed.
You didn't go
allowed.
Any of those times?
No, because you didn't invite me.
All right, so the Zumwalt is in dock over there at Ingalls in Mississippi, and we kind of asked, what are they doing? And they kind of said, eh. You know, so they've outfitted it. They've gotten rid of the gun, and they're putting hypersonic tubes on them, 12. So they have repurposed the Zumwalt class as kind of like the stepping stone between current ships and the Trump class battleships, if they ever come to pass. And so the Zumwalt is going to go back out with new equipment.
Local news.